Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I am Zuri Hall, and today we gave Scott Evans the day off so that I could bring in a very special guest, the most special guest, just in time for Father's Day, my dad. Hi, Dad.
Hey, honey. How are you doing?
I am doing so well. My dad's name is Joe Hall.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? I'm happy to be here. Oh. Nice to meet y'all, even though I can't see you.
Wow, you're off to a strong start. Okay, so it's obviously Father's Day, worthy of celebration. This guy is, so I got to brag on my homie for a minute. Some amazing things about you. What's my favorite thing about Dad? My dad is super hardworking, and he would give the shirt off his back for the people that he cares about. And I got my work ethic from him and my ambition from him, and my sense of integrity from him. And he's just an all-around good guy. And he gets sensitive in his old age. So I feel like he's going to start crying before the end of this podcast.
Maybe, but I'll be okay. We'll make it through this thing.
You can handle it.
As long as she's here beside me, I'm good. Aww, we can handle this.
Okay, what's a fun fact about my dad? We have this, well, that's not a fun fact. We have the same wonky tooth. There's one tooth that juts out more than the others.
The same monkey tooth.
Yeah, this one.
You used to have the same monkey everything.
Wonky.
Yeah,
this tooth. Nobody cares because they can't.
I didn't even know we had a wonky tooth. Okay.
What's a fun fact? You used to be addicted to Coca-Cola when you were, was it a teenager?
No, it wasn't Coca-Cola. It was Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Yeah. What? But that was, when I was a teenager. 17, 18, I drank too much pop. Probably still do.
It was a good replacement for water.
For water, yeah. There's a really bad story about that. Well, I was under the impression that pop was replacement for water because it was liquid. Yeah, so I went about a week without drinking water, and I was drinking a lot of Pepsi. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, I got locked up real bad. But I made it through, so I'm
you
fine.
Make it through, yeah. And now you drink water.
I drink more water. I still don't drink enough. But everybody should drink water. It's good for you.
Drink your water, boys and girls.
The bad habit I have.
What makes you an exceptional dad? Let's see. What is the best thing? You're a good judge of like a good judge and jury. Like you're really fair. I feel like
I try
like
to be.
You don't pick sides or like get into the weeds with us and our chaos.
Until I get all the information as much as I can.
Yeah, then first you get the information, so that's good.
Okay.
So we're gonna tell the folks at home a little bit about growing up in Toledo. I was born and raised in Toledo with my parents and my two brothers. When you think about like how far I've come in my career and like obviously now I'm in LA at Access Hollywood and doing American Ninja Warrior and all of that stuff, but did you always know that I would end up in the entertainment business?
I didn't know that you were going to end up in the entertainment business, but I knew that whatever it was, you were going to be successful because you were always ambitious and driven. There was no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Voracious reader at an early age too. Terry, I told you that story about walking past your bedroom.
You got to tell this story.
Oh, well, when Zuri was younger, when she was a baby, at that point in time, I was laid off for a year and a half. And I spent a lot of time reading and spending time and just educating her as much as I could to the best of my ability at that time. But anyway, she developed this voracious appetite for reading. I mean, books and stuff. So I was walking by her bedroom. This is jump forward to the time she was 12. I was walking by her bedroom and the door was cracked. And I was walking by and she was in the bedroom and she was laughing to herself. And she says, laughingly, "I just love to read." And I was so struck by that. And I started laughing to myself as I was walking by, because reading education does have a profound effect or impact on youngsters. But she was 12 years old, and it was just a wonderful thing to know that she just loved reading.
Nerd life.
Yeah, nerd life, yeah. It got a little bit of that nerdness from me, I think.
Yeah, you're a book nerd. Okay, so you didn't know if I would be in the entertainment business or not, but was there anything about me as a kid that you were like, this girl's going to be on Access Hollywood. She's going to be a star. She's going to be on a big screen.
Well, you know, we had that camcorder and we used to record, right? So what she would do, she would put together little skits and pretend she was a talk show host or radio host. Remember you did that with Shamari and Joseph when they were small?
Wow,
you had the little desk there. You don't remember, y'all were in the living room and you had the desk there and you were the host of the show and you were interviewing Joseph and Shamari. You have that on the camcorder.
Oh,
you have on those discs that we had there.
I definitely
You do.
Wow.
And you tell it, Joseph is probably about 5.
he was my first guest.
Yeah. So I'm surprised that you didn't remember that.
You're going to have to find the lost files.
Yeah.
From an early age.
Yeah, early age, you said.
It was written in the script.
And then you wrote the script with, what was that play that you had with the camcorder with?
I used to always write plays.
Yeah.
And then I would hold casting on the front porch of the house and I would have the neighborhood kids line up at the
stairs. What was that play when Shamari was coming, was backing out of the window upstairs in your bedroom
we were shooting music videos.
Yeah, and then
him and Azari were like dating. They were
Something like that. Y'all were doing. But I was amazed at the way he was trying to shoot that scene where he was actually, because that was on the second level and the front porch roof was there. He wasn't actually going out on the porch, but it looked like he was crawling in through the window. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah. I had a producer's mind at a very early age.
Wouldn't know anything about producing and all that stuff, but it was cute. Go ahead.
Was I a good kid or did I get into trouble?
Actually, to be honest, you really were a good kid. And I'm not just saying that. You were a good kid.
Oh, for sure.
There you had moments.
What moments? I was never bad. I might have been a little sassy or attitude-y, but I never got into trouble intentionally. I never I'm going to do this and
You spent a lot of time with your books, I think, and you were pretty much, at that point, you were a little more introverted.
Super introverted. I always tell people I was really shy growing up.
Yeah, you were shy. And so the books and you being shy and staying away from boys, that was a good thing.
Well, I wasn't staying away from boys by choice. I was staying away from boys because you were a hater and wouldn't let me be great.
Well, you're great now.
Oh my gosh. We're talking about
you're great now.
I was so mad because first of all, I was not allowed to date in high school.
I don't recall.
I recall not being allowed to date in high school.
That's probably true.
And then on my sweet 16, I was like, this is my moment. This is my day. We had my birthday party at my Aunt Mel's house and the neighborhood boys tried to come to the party. And my dad was sitting on the porch like a bouncer at a nightclub.
I remember that.
It was not funny. Turning away all of the boys.
I wasn't turning away all of the boys. I was just there to make sure everything stayed straight.
Stayed boyless. Yeah. Mission accomplished. What was the funniest thing I've ever done as a kid, or have I ever embarrassed you?
I can honestly say you've never embarrassed me. I would remember those moments, believe me. I thought that you was kind of sneaky when you were younger.
I was sneaky?
Yeah, remember that time you got your grandfather to take you to Mommy Valley to take that test? That was funny.
Okay,
this is a story about your friend wanted to go and they had asked her to come out for an interview or something.
So basically, the private school that I ended up going to, they were having scholarship testings. And, you know, you had to go take the standardized tests or all these things to see which kids were, I don't know, smart enough, academically gifted enough to be gifted an academic scholarship to attend the private independent school. So my friend at the time, one of my closest friends, wanted to go. And so she was like, you should go too. And then we can go to school together and it'll be amazing. And then I was like, it would be amazing. This school sounds awesome.
Yeah, but I want to tell the sneaky part.
Oh, for sure. I just had to set the stage first. And to be clear, context, it was a really expensive school, like the best in the Northwest Ohio. Indiana ended up going. It was awesome. But my parents didn't want me to go to the testing because it was so expensive.
No, I didn't really know about the testing and the expenses because that wasn't in the initial stages. When you went with your friend, it was just to go with her so that they could evaluate her and see.
No, that wasn't in it. We both wanted to go and see this. We spent the whole night listening to classical music and studying up in my room because we read that if you study with classical music, it helps you retain information better. When I showed up that day, I was trying to get a scholarship too.
That's not the impression that was given to me at the time. She was supposed to have gone and you went with her. And once you got there, you came back and said, well, I want to go there too.
Oh, so, you mean I went for like a tour.
Whatever it was. I don't
know. So like maybe we went and checked out the school and I was like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. I want to attend. Okay, maybe that.
Yeah, that's what happened.
When the testing happened.
And so then, remember when you kept asking me about going to the school and I kept hesitating. I talked to your mother. And we were concerned about the cost because we weren't rich. We weren't poor, but we weren't rich. And we had other expenses and everything. So anyway, I was kind of hesitant. Yeah, and trying to see, not consciously, to see if you really wanted to go. So I kind of ignored you. And you keep asking me, well, I want to go and take me. And I'll tell your mother and we'll see. Maybe she'll eventually change her mind or it won't be a big deal. But I was always working too much. And so time kept passing. And each time they had a testing, you know, I wasn't aware you were asked to go. Mm-hmm. And I would say, okay, we will. We'll see. But what happened, you went to your grandfather.
Mm-hmm. And my mom's dad.
And had him take you. You didn't ask me or your mother because we apparently were a little bit too slow. And what happened, he ended up taking you.
He was my getaway driver. So I was like, Papa, this is the plan. Meet me outside of the house. I'll hop in the van. Don't ask any questions. Drive straight to Mom and Family Country Day School. Go, go, go.
And so then after you had gone and you did whatever y'all do out there to take
the test. It was hours of testing.
And later, you got the scholarship. Mm-hmm. And then it was, okay, Valencia, what are we going to do? You know, that's an expensive school and we're okay, but we've got two boys.
Yeah.
And the biggest issue was I didn't want to separate the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to Valencia and we decided, I told them, I called the school and told them that I didn't want to separate the boys. So they said, okay, well, Mr. Hall, maybe we can make some arrangements and work something out with you for the boys.
And then they did, and we lived happily ever after.
Yes. I don't know about happily ever after. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Almost happily ever after.
Whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, it worked out.
It did work out. That was sneaky. I got to attend the school. It was a little bit sneaky on the front end, but look at all of the awesomeness that came from that 6 years of great education.
Yes, absolutely. I think they're one of the best schools around.
Hear, hear. Go Hawks. Was there ever a gift that I made or did for Father's Day that stood out to you or like a favorite Father's Day memory?
Do you remember the bust of my head?
Oh, yeah.
I love that thing. It's on my front, my living room mantelpiece.
I think one of your ears has fallen off at this point.
Well, no, it's the eyebrow because you didn't stick it up there real tight. But that's my most favorite piece from you. It's right there on my mantelpiece. I look at it, I smile a lot of times when I'm walking past. That's why it's on the living room mantelpiece.
Buddy, how old was I when I made that?
I think you were about 12. Y'all were in that art class then, 12, 13, yeah. I think it was 12 when you first got there.
Yeah, I would say 11 or 12 I think when 12. I think about the artistic capabilities.
Well, then,
if I was 13, and
well,
like that,
I mean, your artistic abilities were a little bit in question at the time, but it didn't matter. It was a beautiful bus. It didn't matter.
Fact. Here's a fun fact about my dad. You were a really good artist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I was going to major in art in school. In college, actually, but I changed the major to business. My mother told me, she says, well, how are you going to make any money? How are you going to survive? You know, and I'm like, okay, well, but I still did a little dibble dabbling in art, but nothing serious.
It was really good. The drawings that would be hanging up in grandma's house. And I remember that lady where she was in that like loincloth walking away. And then that dude with the hand crawling up the cliff to come get
him. Yeah, that was one of my earlier ones. Yeah.
Yes, your early works, early works. Get your Joe Hall originals coming to a Squarespace online e-commerce website. Okay, I want to do a quiz with you.
A quiz?
Yes, a little game, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I spend a lot of time on the red carpet. So we're just going to do rapid fire.
Stinker. I don't. Can I call you?
Yeah, you can call me Stinker. Well, spoiler alert, guys. My nickname is Stinker.
Yeah, no, that's but you know, because I, the red carpet stuff, I don't keep up, you know.
Y'all, he is so clueless about his face. Buddy, don't stress. This is going to be so easy. It's not.
All right. Well, that's a good thing because I don't know anything about. I've seen you, watched you on the red carpet and some of that stuff. But
my mom, you guys, she's the one who's more like in it, like literally, because she'll come out and like, because my dad worked so much, my mom will come out and like, she's crashed some red carpets with me. She met
Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, I love him. I think. But so my dad's never actually gotten to go to like a red carpet event with me yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
We're going to have to make that happen.
We'll do a red carpet.
Okay, so we're going to quiz you on some of your favorite things, okay? What's one celebrity, if you could meet any celebrity, who would it be?
A celebrity?
Any famous person. They don't even have to be super famous now. It could be from like back in your heyday, Joe, young Joe in his 20s.
I like Robert De Niro.
Oh, that happened so quickly. Yeah. I've interviewed him quite a few times.
Oh, have you? I think I saw one when you were on the carpet thing.
Nice guy.
Oh, he seemed to be. I don't know.
Stoic in an endearing way.
I'll bet he is. But in a lot of his movies, I really enjoyed him. He did a lot of those, the gangster movies.
The Godfather.
Yeah.
That's
and he's a great actor. He's a great actor.
He's amazing. Yeah. Okay, Robert De Niro. Let's see if we can make that happen. Okay, who's your favorite musician?
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another fun fact. My dad can sing too. He used to sing.
I used to be able to. He
my creativity from, honestly. Yeah. It's all from you.
Yeah. I used to be in a group in college.
Another fun fact. Tell them about the group that you used to be in college at Ohio University.
Well, it was me. I forget the two young ladies' name, but obviously Arsenio Hall's name stands out. We took photo back then, but we weren't very good, but we tried.
and
even though we had some good voices, but we did some shows. And now when I think back and I look back on some of the things in the groups and we've tried to perform, I think, man, we didn't really know anything. Yeah, we did. We had fun. So
are you going to sing for the people? Are you going to sing some Marvin Gaye?
No.
Oh, you're feeling shy.
Yeah, whatever. Go on.
Wait, what's a Marvin Gaye song? I was about to sing Al Jarreau.
What's going on? What are you talking about?
There's so many of you.
Yeah, I was listening to that yesterday with Robert Siflin, that album. That
you're
album.
Not going to sing it?
No, because I can't. When you get older, you lose and you don't have the transitions and the notes. It's all different. Especially when it goes.
My dad takes it so seriously. You think that's not a good what I'm doing? I'm just whatever.
I'm self-conscious about that. Okay, I won't be self-conscious.
Okay, let's sing it together. How does the song go?
There's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying.
Hottest mixtape of 2021 dropping soon.
Yeah, okay.
I'll produce your debut album.
Oh, great. Then I'll get the Do I get paid?
10%. I'll take 90 off the top.
Oh, that sounds fair.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
I don't know. I'm going back to Robert De Niro genre. I like The Sopranos, although that wasn't a movie, that was a series.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that. I like
The Sopranos.
I like the differences in the characters and personalities and the conflicts with good and evil and those types of things and how you struggle past them or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things like that. But that's Sopranos would be the show that I've watched.
That counts.
I didn't watch a lot of movies.
What is one album that you can keep playing all day long?
Stevie Wonder.
I knew you were going to say Stevie. Stevie Wonder. Because that's what I go to automatically, because that's all you play growing up.
Yeah, I love that album. Mm-hmm. And there's so many messages.
Yeah, so many. That's the one with the yellow, red, orange circles.
Songs in the Key of Life. Yeah. And there's so many deep, profound messages in his music. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the artists, now don't get me wrong, I have a lot of albums, a lot of music I can't think of name-wise right now, but Stevie Wonder absolutely stands out as one of the most, mm-hmm. most in-depth, emotional, and the lyrics and the sound and the beauty of his music is just wonderful.
Yeah, I concur. Do you have a favorite interview of mine that you've ever seen me do? What interview have you seen me do that you're like, oh, that was cute?
I've seen so many. I mean, but I can't, especially the one that stands out, obviously, is with you and Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Did you see the one where I gave her a loaf of bread?
No.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I love bread. So that's a joke the first time I met her. I gave her a loaf of bread. And she was like, thank you so much. Next time, toast it.
Oprah's a good one. Denzel.
Just briefly behind that, but Denzel Washington, yeah.
Because I ended up talking to Denzel, matter of fact, about you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it was off camera. Well, it was on camera, but didn't make air. We were talking about fathers, like fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was asking him about being a father and this and that. And then he started asking me, well, how's your father shaped you? And da, da, da. And then I started telling him about you. And then he started tearing up about me talking about you.
Oh, wow.
She's such a nice guy.
Yeah, apparently he is.
Yeah, he's very kind. Okay, last question. What celebrity should we showcase next week on The Vault? I know this is a stretch for you because you're not really a celebrity center.
I mean, when I watch them, they're doing their job and it's great and I appreciate their skills, but I don't know it.
I will say, I think it's your complete lack of like being swept up in celebrity and stardom that helps me do my job better.
And I'll be honest with you, part of the reason why I don't get caught up in a lot of the shows and TV because people are just people to me.
And you've always said that to me, which I've always remembered and carried that with me through Hollywood.
And so all the glitz and glamour that you see on the stars, and it's nice to be entertained, but I ask myself sometimes, are they a good person?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So all of that stuff really doesn't mean much to me, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
when I see all the color and the tuxedos and the gowns and all mm-hmm. that stuff. I always think, are they a good person? And I'm sure a lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably some of them aren't so nice, but you know.
I can confirm both.
Okay.
So I don't think
about that stuff. After I watch the movie, I just turn it off and I move to the next, whatever it is.
You mean after you watch the movie, you go to Access Hollywood so that you can get hot
tape? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the one to be.
By now, you're probably wondering how the hell Zuri ended up in Hollywood doing entertainment news reporting. I think it's good, though. It keeps me well-adjusted, and I think I know my approach to interviewing and to interaction throughout all of my years in Hollywood has always been, like, people are just people, and, you know, you appreciate their art. I appreciate their art and their work, and fame is a byproduct, often, of great talent, but I think always remembering that and having that sense of sort of, like, down-to-earth groundedness about it all has helped me go far because I've never gotten so caught up or swept up in maybe the not so great portions of it, mm-hmm. Which is how I've been able to sustain this little career of mine.
This is just the beginning, and this is a little career. Just imagine this is going to blow up even bigger.
Ooh.
You know, I just hope that in people watch the celebrities and the stars and talk about how wonderful they are, that they just remember that it's the person inside it's the person inside that really you want to emulate or try, if they're good people. I always go back to being good. But just because they perform something great, like I said, doesn't mean that they're great, but you would hope or like to think that they are. So
here, here.
Don't get too caught up in all of the glitz and glamour and stuff, and look for the substance. That's all.
Amen, brother. Take us to church on the vault by Access Hollywood. Well, guys, if you didn't love him before, you got to love him now. Now you see why I love him so much. Dad, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Vault.
Yes, it's been fun. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it very much.
And now this will live
forever. And I'm so happy to have met you all. And maybe one day we'll get to see each other in person.
And see, now you see where I get the goof and the quirk. Once he warms up, once he shakes off the shy. Yeah, he doesn't stop talking, trust me. I get it honestly.
Depending on what you're talking about.
Oh my God.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you in the next one.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.